Welcome to OK Sis Podcast.
Hi, sisters. I'm Maddie.
And I'm Scout.
And we are sisters IRL.
I'm the older one.
Yes, Scout. We know.
We're cultural observers.
And of curious minds.
Get ready for sisterly banter while we chat about fixations, learnings, and personal growth.
We promise it'll be a good time.
As long as you don't get too loud, Mads.
Welcome to the sisterhood! Hello, welcome back to OK Sis. My name is Mads.
I'm Scout, and that was quite fast. I am the older sister, Mads is the younger sister, and if you're new, hi. We're so happy you're here, and if you are an OG sister, okay, was that necessary, Mads?
ASMR. I just want to let everyone know that I am drinking my first Celsius ever.
You're so rude. I'm in the middle of talking.
Oh, sorry,
I'm in the middle of welcoming and saying hi to the sisters.
Sorry,
and you're doing
my millennial is showing.
Your millennial is showing? Because you're selfish? Is that it?
No, because I'm drinking Celsius.
Oh, Jesus. I don't know if Celsius is, like, millennial.
What else is it?
I don't think it's millennial branded.
Beautiful. Okay. Really good. Delicious.
Glad that I was here to witness the first sip of the Celsius.
Okay.
Anyways, hey, guys. Hey, sisters. Hey, ladies. So happy you're back. I've been thinking about it lately, and it really feels as if, after 2.5 years of podcasting, OK Sis has become so ingrained in our life. I mean, I feel
Was it not before?
It always has been. But after 2.5 years, you look back and you realize, you know, holy shit, this is a very large part of my life and will be for hopefully the rest of my future. I mean, I want to be in the old age home with you at the age of 85, just fucking podcasting every week.
Whoa, dude. Let's do it.
Yeah. Oh, well, we are. That's
you know, we hope that there are new listeners, because if you are new here, welcome. If you found us by our clickbaity title
today, it's not a clickbaity title.
It's SEO approved.
No, today's going to be a very, very value-packed driven episode. Yeah. I think that a lot of people want to know how podcasting works, the behind the scenes, etc. And so for those who are thinking about starting a podcast, or maybe work for a company and you're trying to convince your CEO or boss to start a podcast, because I believe podcasting is the number one brand extension these days, this episode is going to provide you with things to think about, give you some of the tangible steps to get started and all of that. So I think it's going to be a really, really great value add.
I know. We've never actually done an episode like this. Like, we did the behind the scenes of creating OK Sis, but we never actually broke down what we determined as the six things that you need to think about before starting a podcast. We have a mentorship program. So if you want to get even deeper into this and work with us one-on-one, we also offer those services. So, you know, slide into the DMs if that's something you're interested in as well after this episode. You have questions.
Yes, totally. Yeah, we work one-on-one with podcasters doing a full podcast audit and giving really custom notes on how they can take it to the next level, which is always fun, because we said, I think it was on the What Day Is It podcast that we started. Yeah, it was on What Day Is It podcast, which came out last week. We said that when we started, we thought that the space was really saturated back then, which is something we really don't believe in, but that was a limiting belief that we went into the space with. And back then, it wasn't so common for everybody, not for everybody, but for average people, like not someone not associated with a company, you know what I mean? Just a normal person starting a podcast. So we didn't have any checklists to do. So we want to help people kind of not fumble as much as we did through some of the things. But before we start talking about all of that, I want to talk about something new, a new mindset, not mindset shift, but a phrase that I'm using a lot that I really think, for me, sets very clear boundaries in my life. It's something that I think is running around the coaching sphere, the spiritual sphere, this personal development sphere, but thinking about what you're available for and unavailable for, the idea that you're unavailable for something is very concrete and final. Right. So if you work a job at 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. and somebody wants to go shopping from 10 a.m. to 11, you're unavailable for the shopping trip. Right.
Sure.
So there's something really concrete about it. So now, you know, I'm definitely a people pleaser. And if somebody asks me to do something, or they want my advice, or they need me to do whatever, and I am just not in a space where I can give at that moment, in my head, I tell myself, and sometimes I verbalize it out loud, and I say, I'm really sorry, but I'm unavailable for this at this moment. It's just a really, really, it's really firm, and it's very concrete, and it's definitely drawing a line of a boundary. And I think it's very respectful. And I think people on the other on the other end really hear that firmness, understand that this is what I'm available and this is what I'm not available for, and then respect it in return. So, for example, like, so small, guys, we're having our grandpa's birthday at my house. And my mom was, I was trying to cook. I worked too late. I really just wanted to decompress. And she was just asking me all these questions about grandpa's birthday that I'm really not planning. I'm just hosting. And so I was like, I don't know these answers. Like, ask grandma, right? And she was like, can you do this? Can you send me this? And finally I said, I'm unavailable for this conversation right now. I'm putting my phone away. And it's just little things like that where some people want favors from you or asking you of things. And Lauren Everts really gets into this, and I really, really appreciate this sentiment that people text you and they expect that you're going to stop what you're doing and get them what you need within the hour sometimes. And I just think that's such an unhealthy relationship that we've used with text message.
And to time management and you do that to respect me. Of your time.
You do that to me sometimes. You're like, hey, I need a caption on Instagram. And I'm like, wait a minute. Like, that wasn't in my daily flow, you know, or whatever. But I think it's just, I think we should just start looking at, hey,
just,
are
you're
people,
such a good writer. And sometimes I have writer's block.
I know.
And you're a good, you are a good, you're good.
I know, but I'm just saying.
Take the comic bet.
Okay. Well, that's confusing because I'm setting a boundary and then you're complimenting me so I don't set the boundary. I don't know if I like this situation. But all I'm saying is that I feel as if we should start really thinking about what people in our lives are available for and unavailable for. And really respect those boundaries because I think that they're really important.
I agree with you 1,000%. I think it is something that as women, we especially struggle with. And also as when you're starting out, I think we even struggled with this with the podcast. Like, you want anyone and everyone to come on the podcast, to grow it, and to, you want to say yes to all opportunities because you never know where it's going to lead you. But what we noticed was, you know, we said yes to way too many things, and it actually compromised the brand and what we were trying to achieve.
And our energy levels.
Oh, the energy levels were very low for a long time.
I think in the beginning, it's so important to say yes and to do everything, every opportunity that comes your way. And then as you start building and building, you know, with different...
You can shift it. I think also,
you can shift it.
Like, when you come across a yes opportunity that does not feel aligned, then you can reevaluate and say, okay, actually, I'm at a certain point where I do not have to say yes to these types of opportunities. And like, this is a boundary I'm going to set.
It's not even about being at a certain point. I think it's just really evaluating what's worth your energy and what's not worth your energy. And in the beginning, everything is, I believe, worth your energy. But as you grow into your career and launch new things and take on new projects, it's just important for you to know where your boundaries are. And that doesn't mean that you're not saying yes to opportunities. I say yes all the fucking time.
Yeah.
Like, we are the most open, accessible, we're down to be on your pod kind of girls. I just think it's interesting to frame that in your head, even just with friends and family, of when they're asking for things from you. You're like in the middle of a busy work day and it's, you know, you can't do something like that. So I just thought it was a nice way to think about it for yourself so that you can really communicate any sort of boundary that you really feel strongly about.
Wow. So beautiful. Such a nice sentiment. Such a nice way to start the pod. Thank you, Scout. Thank you for the wisdom.
Professor Scout.
Oh.
Yeah.
Wouldn't go that far.
Are you sure? You sure about that?
I think I have. Actually, you would be an amazing professor because you wouldn't give out grades.
No.
And you would just let people like smoke weed.
Okay, no. Like, literally no. I don't even.
No, but you would let people like drink wine and do slam poetry as like their final project. I mean, or like smoke cigarettes.
No. Okay. No. I would just evaluate them on their presence, their intention, and, you know, their motivation. Not necessarily the grade they
got. Scout school.
Scout school.
Enrolling in scout school.
Oh shit. I'm gonna start an online academy.
All right. Shall we do current fixation?
We shall.
The current fixation.
Oh, like those 4 years of French in high school really paying off for now. Okay, so my current fixation, you have heard me talk about it, and Mads is actually alarmed because I speak about this so much in meetings when we're talking. I don't know. I have an obsession. It's not a fixation. It's not current. It's not a fixation. It's an everlasting obsession with Osea. Osea is a skincare line, a clean beauty skincare line that is for some reason, just nourishes my soul while it cleans my skin. And I started with the Ocean Cleanser and fell so incredibly in love with it. I switched from my, what was it called? IS Clinical Skincare to Osea because I was looking for something cleaner and really, really, really fell in love with it. And then I also got their white algae mask, which I do once a week, which I also fell in love with. And I've been eyeing their body oil. And it's just, I don't understand what it is about the brand. I'm still trying to pinpoint it, but there's something about using Osea products that doesn't just make my skin feel so pure and clean and brightened. It really, I feel, brightens my skin. It nourishes my soul. Like, there's something very ritualistic about Osea. There's something very pure about Osea. It is a brand that is very connected to the ocean. They use, you know, algae products, etc. They're based out of Malibu, and it feels as if the romantic version of Southern California beach, the kind of very intentional, holistic culture that comes with the beach versus the kind of like rowdy culture that comes with the beach. And so I just so identify with how simplistic and minimalistic and intentional they are. And while this episode is not sponsored by Osea, I hit them up because I'm such a fucking fan and I got you guys a discount code. I know we don't usually do discount codes in Current Fixation, but I want you to try Osea so bad that I asked them for one. So you can use the code SCOUTSOBEL. That's SCOUTSOBEL. Again, this is 100% not sponsored. Sisters Current Fixations will never be sponsored, but I felt so strongly about this brand. Mads is a little concerned when I talk about them offline, and I wanted everybody to be able to try the fucking magic of Osea.
Scout, we got to get you to the spa. You know, there's a spa in Venice.
I know, because, I started using Osea in quarantine, so I just haven't had the opportunity. Alexis Haynes told us about it on the episode that she came on, so that is high, high, high on my list for when I'm fully vaccinated. Also, the Hyaluronic C Serum. I don't use vitamin C anymore. I only use their Hyaluronic C Serum. It's so good.
Is it a vitamin C as well?
I don't think so. I think it's just hyaluronic acid. Yeah. It is so good.
I have been, yes, Osea. I've been on the kick. Oil. The body oil is luxury.
The whole thing's luxury.
It's luxury. It's luxury. I agree. I'm with you on the Osea bandwagon. I started also using their cleanser and the hyaluronic acid and the body oil. Fabulous.
Did that influence you?
You may have planted the seed. Yes.
Okay. Which, never getting full credit for influencing Mads.
Yeah. So great. Love that for you.
Yeah. I just feel so happy thinking about them. You know, I just feel happy.
Me like Lacey Phillips vibes, Topanga Canyon, Carson Meyer.
Yes. Which is
Malibu spirituality. You like, it's so funny because I feel like you would belong in that culture though.
Yeah. 100%.
There is a specific community in Malibu that is very much
it's like a luxury hippie vibe.
Yes, that's you. Hello.
Yeah, I'm very luxury.
Wait, that is you. Luxury hippie.
Yeah, I don't know. I have a weird connotation with the word hippie, but I guess luxury, spiritual, intentional, clean being, I suppose.
That's a mouthful. We're gonna need to.
I'm gonna come up with an acronym because Lacey Phillips one uses Osea all the time. That's where I found. That's like where I.
Of course she does.
That's where I found out. Her whole pregnancy, she used their body oil. So yeah, I really do fit into that little sliver of Malibu culture.
You for sure do.
Like, it's not around anybody. I don't have to see anybody.
You don't need to see anyone. No one wants to see you. You don't want to see anyone.
Yeah. Oh wow.
It's you in the ocean.
Oh my God, I gotta move.
We gotta get, let's do a sister moon. And we get a house, not a house, like an apartment on the water.
Okay.
For a weekend.
Okay.
We go to Osea.
Okay.
Make it, you know, it'd be good for the vlog.
Okay, your fucking vlog. I feel like you're gonna get so famous off this vlog, and it's because I have to put up with it and interject myself into it so much.
You don't really have to. You were just around today. Oh, so.
Okay. Yeah, sorry. Sisters, we're in person together recording this. Woo, I love it. Okay, Woo-hoo! What's your current fixation, Mads?
Oh, speaking of the vlog, my current fixation is my new camera that I purchased. It is the Canon G7X. This is the YouTuber camera, okay? Like, Kenzie Elizabeth, I hit her up and I said, hey, girl, you're my YouTube expander. What's the camera? Give me the camera deets. Give me the tea. And she says, this is the only one you need, Canon 6, 7X. G7X. And it's just this little compact, cute camera. It's really, really high quality. And so it just fits in your purse. And then there's like a flip thing so you can see yourself selfie style. I got this. What is this?
It's like a selfie stick.
No.
It's a tripod.
Tripod. There it is. I watched Claudia Saluski's YouTube video all about all of the equipment that she uses. And I mean, if we're going to do anything, we got to do it Claudia Saluski way. So I just love it. I just started videoing and the YouTube channel will be up in a couple weeks. So don't go looking for it yet. But this is such a fun adventure for me. And I was speaking to my graphic designer, Alyssa, and she was like, I already feel like you are a YouTuber. Like, you're so comfortable and confident in front of the mic or the camera, which I guess I realized I really would not have been able to do this YouTube channel if it wasn't for the podcast. I feel so comfortable in the way that I just present myself on the internet that the YouTube, it would have been really strange to start a YouTube channel if we didn't have OK Sis. Does that make sense?
Oh, 100%. I was actually just thinking that because I remember in the beginning of starting OK Sis, you literally hand wrote all of your fucking responses to shit. Like, you wrote down what to say every episode. It was so annoying.
Oh, thank you. That was called preparation.
No, that was called trusting yourself
That's
to speak.
True. This is true. I do have a very, I still struggle with this where I will think of the words before they come out because I'm scared of sounding unintelligent.
Yeah. Well,
do you think I got over that? I think I did.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you're starting a fucking YouTube channel. Yeah. Yes, you did get over that. I'm very proud of you.
It's a great journey. So I'm excited.
I am filming something for my agency, so I'm going to have to borrow this camera for a day.
Oh, shit.
Yeah.
You want the Canon G7X?
Yeah, I'm going to borrow it.
When is that going to happen? Come to Malibu, then we'll do the vlog.
2 months.
Let's do it in Malibu.
No, because I need a studio space, and there's one here in San Diego I'm going to rent out. So I am going to just borrow your camera for a day, okay? Moving on. Let's get into this episode. Okay, sisters. So you guys know all about my smoothie saga. It wasn't working for me. It was making me exhausted every day. My digestion was fucked up. But I kept seeing Daily Harvest, and I said, okay, maybe it's just my smoothies, which is the verdict, because I got these incredible smoothies from Daily Harvest. I have been drinking them on the go when I need a snack, when I don't really have lunch prepared, and they are sustaining my energy. I don't have that crash. They are so nourishing and good. I can't believe I ever made smoothies by myself, and I am certain that that is the reason that my energy levels were so low. Daily Harvest knows what ingredients to put in a smoothie.
Exactly. And one thing that you may not know about Daily Harvest is you've probably seen their smoothies everywhere, all over Instagram, but they actually have these bowls now, which is actually so much more of my vibe. You could just literally pop them in the microwave, which, hello, seamless, minimal effort, the most perfect cooking experience for me. Or if you want it more elevated, you could put it into a pan with some chicken broth and cook it up, and you can kind of like trick yourself into thinking that you're like cooking like a lavish meal. And it's delicious, great quantities, and I just love it. Like, I just love the nourishing aspect of Daily Harvest.
Yeah, so I've been cooking from home. I've been buying groceries at home, but every now and then as my schedule gets busier, I just need something to pop in real quick that I know is healthy because I'm trying to eat as clean as possible. So I also got their chia seed bowls that you just put in the freezer so they last forever.
So if you want to try out Daily Harvest today, which you should, you could use code OKSIS, that's OKAYSIS, for $25 off your first order. I mean, that's like so much free food. I don't understand why you wouldn't do that.
Yeah, I'm not going to lie. That's the kind of deal that we're all looking for, you know?
Exactly. You can go to daily-harvest.com or click the link in our show notes and then apply OKSIS, the code OKAYSIS, for $25 off.
And thanks, Daily Harvest, for bringing my smoothie routine back into my life.
Thanks, Daily Harvest.
Okay, back to this episode. Okay, sisters, we're getting into everything you need to know before starting a podcast, as well as the stuff you need to know to start the podcast, the before, the during, the in it, not the after, just the in it, you know, the in it.
There is no after. This is going on forever.
There's no end. It just goes on and on and on.
Which, okay, that is the perfect transition to number one of six things to think about before starting a podcast. Number one, making the commitment. So I think people jump into podcasting and they're like, what's the equipment? What's the strategy? How do I grow this thing? Let's take a beat. Let's take a little beat and really check in with yourself and make the commitment to do this type of project and content creation. Because let me tell you, it is all about consistency. I know we say this all the time, and people, you probably heard it from so many podcasters or content creators, but it is the only metric of success. It's the only way that you're going to grow, is to be consistent and to show up time and time again. And even when in the beginning you have two listeners, that is fine. And it's your mom. That is okay. Keep going.
Okay. Microphone etiquette. When you scream, please, please pull the microphone down.
Oh, sorry.
Just be aware.
2.5 years in.
Just be aware that people, that you're in someone's ears.
I want to make it very clear to people. They need to commit to this. I think people get scared after, you know, they don't see immediate results. Just understand that you're going to be in it for the long game.
So I also want to talk a little bit about making a commitment. First of all, just talking about the power of podcasts and rethinking the value that they have in your life. You know, Mads and I have been, I think we're up to 160 episodes. We've never missed a week.
170, baby.
Oh, something like that. We have not missed, we have to plan our 200. We have not missed a week in 2.5 years. And I think that podcasting is really very similar in kind of a relationship to television. So for example, The Bachelor on Mondays at whatever, 9 p.m., you know that it's up there, so you wait for that. Podcasting, you get a very, very similar relationship where, you know, I wait for certain podcasts to drop certain days. And so not only dropping a podcast on the same day of the week every single week, but also at the same time, we recommend 3 a.m. Pacific Standard Time so that it hits East Coast at the right time. But also before you make that commitment, I think that, and I used to hear other content creators say this all the time and think it was so stupid, but it's so true once you're in it, to not start a podcast with the goal of making money. So I think that we need to reframe the ROI that comes with a podcast before you even make the commitment. A podcast, I believe, I work in the podcasting industry. My agency specializes in getting women as guests on podcasts. I believe that podcasting is the most incredible, intentional, sticky, engaged, valuable brand extension of whatever you're doing. So if you have a business, having a podcast is such an amazing way to create brand awareness, to create community, to position yourself as an expert. If you're just someone who wants to become a content creator, podcasting is a way to let people really, really know who you are. It's not as edited, it's not as curated as other platforms. And so in that sense, it's a very deep connection that you build. You know, I think of the podcasters that I listen to and I feel as if I know them. They're in my ear.
Yeah, you feel like they're your friends.
So think of it as a...
We're your friends.
Yeah, we love you guys. Think of it as a way to kind of, one, build your network, because having guests on a podcast is the most incredible way to build your network, whatever career you're in. It's also going to develop a very deep sense of community that is truly, truly unparalleled in content creation world. And it's going to just catapult you into other opportunities as you move along your career. So for me, I think reframing the ROI on the podcast at first, you know, monetary comes later and it does come, but really reframing that ROI first before you make that commitment and see the beauty beyond the money.
See the beauty beyond the money. Let's get that tattooed to our asses.
Okay.
All right. Number 2 of 6 things to think about before starting a podcast. Equipment. So this is an audio format. So you want to make sure that your audio quality is top notch. This is how you're presenting yourself. It is the full presentation of the content itself. And you want to make sure that you're putting your best foot forward. We've all been there. You've listened to a podcast where the audio quality was just insufferable and you just can't get through it. And it sucks because then it takes away and distracts from the value you're actually putting out there. So there are a few things that we recommend. If you're looking to, you know, make an investment, we highly, highly recommend the Zoom H6 Handy Recorder. You can just... like type that in on Amazon.
Here, no, I'm going to put all these in the show notes, sister. So all of our equipment is at our Amazon shop. I think it's like amazon.com/shop/OKSisPodcast, but I'm going to link all of the, equipment.
Yeah. Perfect. So we have this Zoom external recorder that we use. It's around $300, but it is the best quality that you'll ever use. You can change the levels, especially for me because I'm loud as fuck. And then we have
we should say it's very durable. We've had it for 2.5 years. We started with this durable thing. Very durable. It lasts a long time.
Yeah. And then we use Sennheiser
mics. Yes. Those are around $100 a mic. And we find that they're really great for many reasons. One, they're very sensitive or they're not very sensitive. I don't know what the correct term there is, but you have to speak very, very closely to the mic so they don't really pick up external background noises. So I record outside all the time. Mads and I recorded our solo episode, I think, the other day, 2 episodes ago, outside. And the entire neighborhood, all the dogs started barking at the same time.
You can't hear anything.
And you cannot hear it on these mics. So that's why I love them so much, because you can be portable. You don't necessarily need this soundproof, acoustic kind of place. You can really record anywhere except somewhere that has an echo. That's the only thing. But they really, really do just pick up your voice, which is so good.
Yeah. We've seen people do it with like Blue Yeti. Is that what it's called?
Yeah,
Yeti mics, don't recommend.
Yeah, I guess there's a time and place for it. Again, we're no sound engineer, but for people that I know who use the Yeti, I know that their sound quality is not as concentrated. It sounds like it's picking up the entire room.
Right.
It's harder. I remember in quarantine, Mom had a Yeti, so she gave it to me, and I couldn't figure out how to get it stable every recording.
Right.
So one time I would record and I was through the roof, blown out. And then another time when I was doing it for Scout Podcast, I was so soft. I couldn't get the settings correctly. So it just wasn't reliable, I felt as if.
And then in terms of recording remotely, I know we're going to probably continue to be doing this for quite some time. And also we're going to, it's a good skill to have, to know how to do it remotely. We record through the Zoom, as in like the video conferencing software. Just make sure that you are exporting separate audio tracks for each individual. And then if you don't have an external recorder, which is what we do, and then Scout layers all of the tracks on top of one another in Adobe Audition, you can get something that plugs a external mic into your computer so that is the audio that is picking up and funneling through Zoom video conferencing, if that makes sense.
Yeah, but I will say Mads did that a little bit in the beginning of quarantine.
I don't think I had a good... Okay, yeah, it wasn't good, but I don't think I had a good connector.
Yeah, I don't know. I recommend externally recording on the Zoom H6 handy recorder, and then if you're doing remote, also recording on Zoom
the video conference. It has been a fucking journey this whole quarantine, because we're like Zoom video or Zoom recorder.
It's very confusing.
It's weird that they're the same name.
But if you need, if you guys need more of a breakdown, DM us. We can send you a little bit more of a breakdown, because I know that gets confusing. But the main point here is to get the Zoom H6 handy recorder, to get the Sennheiser mic, and then depending on what kind of computer you get, you need a SIM card adapter into your computer. We recommend getting the biggest SIM card. We have 64 gigabytes, which is ridiculous amounts. We don't really need that much, but we were in a recording once where our SIM card ran out of space and it was awkward and I had to run to CVS. So we recommend getting the highest SIM card. And while I know this isn't equipment, I edit, Mads said, on Adobe Audition. It's about $25 or $35.
Wait.
Oh, that's later. We have editing later.
Guys, we have to go in order six things. Okay, let's move on to
that's
the next.
Equipment. Oh, but real quick, headphones. I don't think you need super quality. It's just so you can hear so Mads and I aren't wearing headphones right now, which we should be, but headphones allows your guest really, or someone who's not proficient on the mic, to hear how soft or loud they are, so that if they pull the mic away and they're too soft, they'll hear that in their headphones and then subconsciously bring the mic towards. So it's really just to level out the audio volume.
Right. Okay. Number 3 of 6, hosting site. So a lot of people may not know this, but when you start a podcast, you're not actually uploading it straight to Apple Podcasts or Spotify. You are actually uploading it to a third-party hosting site that then distributes it to all of the different podcast platforms. So we highly, highly recommend Red Circle. We have tried many, many platforms. We were on Buzzsprout. We were on Anchor. And we finally moved over to Red Circle, and they're a newer platform. It's completely free, and their customer service is off the charts. They are so accessible to you, and they're willing to collaborate and help you on anything that you need. And then additionally, it serves as a ad marketplace. So when your podcast grows to a certain degree, and then you're looking to monetize just like very easily, they have a built-in marketplace where brands come to them and then that you get paid through the platform, and the ads just kind of go through Red Circle. Another thing that we love about it is that it's super easy to add insertion points to your podcast. So if you don't know what insertion points are, they are little points that you place on your audio track so that ads can be inserted in those points. And usually you put it, you know, between two segments or what have you. So what's great about Red Circle is that you don't have to edit in those insertion points, whereas other platforms you'd have to do that. On Red Circle, you literally just push a button and you put the insertion point, and then when an ad comes in through their marketplace, they just put it in that point that you've determined.
Yeah, so there's two different types of ad here. There's dynamically inserted, which is what Red Circle does, which means that we record episodes, we upload them, and as I'm uploading them, I click an insertion point where if we're working with Red Circle on an ad, we would want that ad to be inserted in, and they distribute their ads throughout all of our episodes for a certain amount of days. It's a little bit different where baked in ads is when, for example, a company comes to us and say, hey, we want 4 ads. We want them placed on these very, very specific days. And then those are actually baked into the episode where we record them, we edit them in, they belong to the whole file and they live there forever. So Red Circle is really great. You know, Anchor claimed to do this and we found literally 0 ads from Anchor. It was a terrible experience. And so Red Circle not only gives you very, very targeted ads. So like we did Thrive Cosmetics with Red Circle, just really, really great ads. It's really, in my opinion, the most accessible way for podcasters to make money as they're growing their show in the beginning.
Absolutely. All right. Number 4 of 6. Content formation. So this is where you're really going to craft what your show is about. Scout and I, obviously, we are co-hosts in it. So there's 2 of us, and we do interview style shows. We also, I mean, like right now it's a solo episode, but typically we do interview style shows. So that is our structure. We have a little banter in the beginning. If you're new here, hello, welcome to OK Sis. But if you've been listening for a while, you know that the show structure is banter in the beginning, and then we transition to the interview. We do current fixations with the guest and then the conversation with the guest as well.
Let me go into a little bit more detail because I look at it kind of as a editing thing. So I see the different segments on the editing platform. So every episode when you start a podcast, you should, well, actually, let's start with the episodes for the content formation that you should have when you post an episode. So you should have a trailer, which is a 1 to 3 minute commercial, essentially, about your podcast. If anyone comes to your podcast site, your podcast page, they can listen to the trailer real quick to see if they're interested. And then when you are launching your podcast, have a first episode. And I recommend that first episode be a solo episode between either you, if it's you're just the only host, or you and your co-host. Because what me and Mads have found is that over the years, people actually go back and listen to our first episode quite a lot. It's one of our most listened to episodes. Don't go back and do that if you're listening. But what that does is you have the trailer for people to get a really quick glimpse if they like you. And then the first episode, really introducing yourself a little bit more of your backstory. That can be anywhere from 15 to 20 minutes. And then launching with a second episode, which is really your first episode. Something that we didn't say with the hosting site is that it takes up to 14 days to get approved by Apple. So we recommend uploading that first episode where you're solo introducing yourself to the hosting site, wait to get approved by Apple, and then you get approved. Let's say you want to launch on a Tuesday, uploading that second episode on Tuesday and your trailer. Therefore, you launch with a trailer, a first episode introducing yourself, and a second episode that actually gets into the meat of the kind of content that you're going to be producing. As far as content formation goes, it goes like this. You're going to have a jingle, which is that song you hear in the beginning of our podcast episode where we introduce ourselves. Then you're going to have an intro where it's just you and your co-host speaking.
Or just you. The only host.
And then this is where we... There goes Luna. This is where we add in an ad in between the intro and the interview. But if you don't have an ad, I like to put music in between there so that it signifies a transition. Then we have the interview, and then we put music in again. And if you want to do an outro where you have a call to action, that's great. So you have jingle, intro, ad, interview, song at the end, just to make those transitions really, really beautiful.
Yes. And also, yes, the formation is really important in the structure, but also understanding what type of show that you want to be. Like, is it just you talking? What is the why? What are you bringing? What is unique about it? You know, if it is an interview show, what kind of guests are you trying to bring on? Where does it all fit into this, like, overall message that you're trying to project? Is it a scripted show? Is it a, you know, what is it? And just really staying consistent with that format, so that the listeners know exactly what to expect.
Yeah. And I think Mads and I talk a lot about, you know, not putting pressure to find a niche. I don't think you need to find a niche. I think you just need to find your brand. So, like, what is your brand about? What's the mission behind here? And just making sure that that makes sense with the content that you're producing.
If you want to learn more about personal branding and an exercise, go listen to our episode with Jessica Zweig. And we did the brand hologram exercise from her book, Be. Really, really helpful to gain clarity around the type of content you want to produce and create. Just helps to stay aligned.
Yeah, she is. Oh, she's so good.
Oh, she is so good. Okay, number five. Editing.
Okay.
Scout, take it away.
The bane of my fucking existence. So when we started editing in the beginning, we used GarageBand, and we got a lot of comments that our audio quality was not consistent. It was either really, really soft. Some people were soft, some people were loud, and I couldn't figure it out because when I listened to it on my computer, it sounded great. And I just deduced that GarageBand was the issue. It might totally not have been. It could have been a setting I had in GarageBand, but I just didn't trust it anymore. So, and GarageBand is free, which is why we used it in the beginning, but I decided to invest in Adobe Audition. It's like $25 or $35 a month. And ever since moving over there, we've had no audio quality issues, which has been really, really nice. And, you know, just I can go to sleep at night, you know, not knowing that I'm not going to wake up with people not being able to hear our episodes. So I recommend Adobe Audition. I recommend separate tracks. So when I edit, there's a track for Mads that's just her voice. There's a track for me that's just my voice. And then we have a track for the guest that's just their voice. If you're recording remotely on Zoom, just go to preferences. I think it's go to audio, and then it'll say record separate tracks for each like person in the room. And what that does is sometimes Mads gets really loud, so I can lower her down. I don't do it enough clearly, but I can lower her down or push me up if I'm softer than her, just on a bass level, and it won't alter the other tracks. So I really find that to be helpful. To be quite honest, the only thing that I really got confused about on Adobe Audition is that you have to click multi-track before you start. It's like in the top left-hand corner. But really, it's pretty self-explanatory. I don't do too much sound editing. It's really just taking out pauses, especially when we record over Zoom. There's lags sometimes, so it feels like we're talking in real time, but then I'll see the recording and there's like 4 seconds in between questions that we never felt, but it's because of Zoom, the technology, the online video shit. So I will say that editing a podcast when you record in person is a motherfucking piece of cake. And editing a podcast where Mads and I are in 2 separate places, our guest is in a separate place, and then sometimes you throw in a 4th one. Like, just
migraine.
Just God bless
migraine.
Me. God bless me.
God bless Scout. God bless America. All right. The last and final thing to think about before starting a podcast is marketing. So promotion, self-promotion, be relentless with it. Honestly, I think people shy away a little bit of this, but literally you need to spam the fucking shit out of your podcast.
But before you start talking about how to spam the shit out of your podcast, you also have to recognize that podcasting is the only platform that you have to go off platform to promote. So Instagram, you promote in Instagram by tagging people, by commenting, by liking, whatever. People go see your profile that way. But in the podcasting app, you upload it and you have no way to drive engagement within the podcast app. It's not pay to play. There's no search engine, real search engine, etc. So when you're starting a podcast, make the commitment that the podcast also comes with also running an Instagram account per se.
Exactly. So a couple things to start is definitely set up either a separate Instagram for the podcast. If you are already a content creator, an influencer, have a larger following on Instagram, you can just you can make a separate one, but also make sure that you are promoting on all accounts and all fronts, especially in the beginning as you're growing that external podcast Instagram. Thing that we always tell people to do is send out a giant email blast, especially for your first episode, to all of your friends and family.
Guys, we did this and accidentally put the Rabbi of Chabad on there. It was okay.
Okay, can you get your feet out of my fucking face? Thanks.
We accidentally sent an email to the Chabad rabbi.
Yeah, I mean, email your Chabad rabbi. Like, just email everyone. I downloaded all of my... There is a settings in Gmail that you can download your entire contact list. So do an email blast. We use MailChimp. Create a cute, you know, little template and do a huge email blast and ask your friends and family to tune in and subscribe. They will want to support you. So definitely using your already support system and built-in network to expand your growth. Instagram. Some things that we recommend is creating templates for all of your new episodes, both on post and stories. So create a little story, create some posts. We use Canva. We had a graphic designer create them in Canva, and then we just switch out the names and the photos each time. And then just, you know, typical content creation, growth, marketing things is be posting things that you mentioned in the podcast, anything you mentioned that's a value that you said in the podcast, making a cute graphic about it, maybe posting a meme that of referencing something you said, always bringing it back to the episode at hand as you're promoting it. Every single episode every week is a new like campaign. I think we literally do a new campaign every week and everything always ties back to the episode. If you can, since we're all on Zoom, the video conferencing shit, use that video. You know, if you can make a little 15-second clip, post it on Reels, post it on TikTok. We have been seeing so many amazing podcasts leverage the Zoom content. We've been doing it too and kind of dabbling in that because it's such a great way to have people get like a little inside peek into what you talk about and lure them in. And you could chop it up really nicely so it fits well in that type of format. So yeah, definitely utilize the Zoom footage. I think it would help people just to immediately get a grasp of what you talk about. Another thing we do is on stories, we do a quote with the audio, a little like sound bite of the episode of the guest. So we use Wave, WAVVE, to upload those graphics, and then you just upload the audio clip and it makes a really cute little video for you to put on Instagram stories. Did I miss anything?
No, I think you did really well, except the only thing that you forgot is that we also have a secret Facebook group, which I think is a really, really great way to create more of a forum kind of communication thread situation with your community. As we said on podcasts, Mads and I talk to each other right now. We're alone talking to one another, and then thousands of people listen, and we don't know who those people are. We can't see their faces. We can't even see their names. We just see a number of people who listen. And so getting to put a face to who our community is and then actually becoming a community and becoming close to the sisterhood, our secret Facebook group is where it's at. It's called OK Sisters. You can join us. But the Instagram, I think, is really great for promotion. And then I think the secret Facebook group is really great for community building.
So I'm going to actually add this as a bonus thing to consider when starting a podcast. Community building, community engagement, community leading.
We should do a part two on community building, because I think that's separate.
Okay, so because honestly, it's everything with podcasting, and it is the way you grow. It's the way you connect with. It's literally the only thing that keeps you going, because it's people that are actually engaging with what you are putting out there, and
it's the most wonderful, fulfilling thing ever to have a community.
Exactly, and I think what people don't understand is when they start a podcast, like yes, of course, the content is everything, and it's what you're, you know, what the product is basically, but you need to understand that when you start a podcast, like you are going to be a leader, whether you fucking want to or not. Like, you are putting yourself in position to lead a community. And I'm not saying like you're higher up or more superior than
that. You're guiding.
Like, you're going to be a guide. You're facilitating this digital arena full of people that listen to your podcast that have this commonality. And secret Facebook groups is great. A lot of podcasts do that. There's also like Slack channels that you can make. There's Bunches, which is like a group chat that we do for our specifically for the book club. And it's just, you are going to have to establish a place where your listeners and audience can congregate and can connect with one another. That is literally the magic of podcasting. That's the reason we're all here. That's it.
Mike Lowe, thank you. Yeah, our community has been so amazing. I remember when quarantine hit and one of our sisters had just found out that she was pregnant and she was really scared and she didn't know what was going to happen with COVID-19. And we rallied the sisters. We asked everybody if they wanted to join in on a secret project. And we had so many women emailing us videos congratulating her and her baby, saying that we're on her pregnancy, saying we're so excited for her. I made a video and we sent it to her. And that's just the power of community, is that we all really came together in those moments and helped support other people. Like, that's the whole point, is that for us at least, is that women come together and support one another. And if we can create the space for that by actually physically creating a secret Facebook group. But the point is that we all interact with one another and build this beautiful community. So we should do another solo episode on community building. I think that's really, really helpful.
I think it's everything. And it's a word that's thrown out a lot. And I think it's like lost its value and its meaning because everyone just keeps saying this. But
and you don't need to be a content creator to build community. You know, if you have a business, you should be creating a community. If you have a local business, you should be creating community. There's so many ways and jobs and industries and positions that community building can be a very big asset.
Absolutely. I'm a community enthusiast is what I like to, you know, self-label myself.
Never heard that, but it makes sense.
Makes sense.
Okay.
Wow. Guys, we just fucking gave you the tea.
Yeah, that was real good.
We don't hide anything. No. Like, we'll tell you anything.
Yeah, that shit's stupid. But if you listen to, like, I mean hiding. Like, hiding. We don't need that. No one has time for that. But if you guys.
Like, there's more than enough room in the space. Yeah. Honestly, like, Scout alluded to it in the beginning about us having that limiting belief that podcasting is oversaturated. I keep going back all the time when people say that. I keep going back to what Lauren Everts Bostick said on our podcast when she was on a couple years ago, where she said, would you ever say that to a singer? Would you say, the music industry is super saturated, you should, like, you know, not pursue singing? Like, there's no, we don't say that. But for some reason, we say that in the Instagram or with podcasting or even now with even TikTok. It's like, it is such a weird way to stop people from starting.
I think that the inherent idea that people don't jump into things because they think it's quote unquote saturated is because they think it'll be more difficult to grow versus when you get into a space early, you can grow faster.
Sure.
So it's just this underlying motive of wanting to grow fast. But I actually think wanting to grow fast and I think growing fast is not a foundation, but it's also not a foundational way to build a brand that's long standable. Like, right. Lauren Everts Bostick always says that there was never one point in her career where shit just took off and she grew so fast. She said she's been laying down a foundation brick by brick, and she's seen other influencers, other content creators have such a quick rise and then fall just as quickly because their house is built out of cards, which has been my whole sentiment with TikTok, really, is that, like, if you can grow 50,000 followers in a week, they'll easily leave you just as fast as they followed you, just because they're not invested over time. And so I think that getting into a space because it's saturated, or not getting into a space because it's saturated, is just you fearing that you're not going to grow quickly. But don't worry about growing quickly. Worry about the development and the quality of your community and your content.
Oh, couldn't have said it better myself, sister. Yeah.
So we love you.
And start that podcast, girl.
Yeah, start it. Send it to us. We want to listen to it. We're really excited. And if you're listening to this and you want to start a podcast, or you just have started a podcast, or you're, I don't know, 6 months in, whatever, and you want a full audit from me and Mads, we will give you a full audit. We can work with you on a mentorship basis, coaching basis in that sense. So just shoot us a DM. Let us know if you're interested, or you can email us at sisters@okcispodcast.com, and we can get to work and get your podcast up leveled.
Woo!
So we love you. You can follow me at Scott Sobel on Instagram,
and you can follow me at Maddie Mayo for all the things.
Yeah, good job, Mads, all the things you're doing. And you can follow us on Instagram at Okcis Podcast. We love you, we appreciate you. Rate, review, subscribe.
Woo-hoo!
Love you, sisters. Catch you next time.